Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Marcus Tucker of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I just want to thank you guys for tuning in to Pro Sports Extra, and welcome back to PSD.
Feel free to use the number 563-999-3674 to call into today's podcast.
The smell of the grass and the pain and the action, the focus, the passion, the thought of the plaque and the trophy all made out to your name. It's the money, it's the fame, it's the feeling they get when they're playing the game. What's the number on their back and the representing name? It's MJ playing way back in the day. It's the score, it's scoring. This is a story, this is Sports Nation. It's been this way for generations. Pro Sports Extra is where I get my information. Athletes with their pursuits and endeavors. Sports will entertain the whole world. It'll be this way forever. And for more of that, we going live to Trevor the Expert.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday, July 25th. It's myself, Trevor, and of course our co-host AJ. How's it going, AJ?
What's going on, Trevor?
And I'm doing good. It's been a couple weeks since we've had a podcast. You were at a pretty cool event. Can you talk about how it's been the past couple of weeks, man, without having a podcast?
Yeah, it's it changes what I got to do throughout the week, how I prepare for the week, and definitely still something I got to do. I've been just ripping shell as much as I can now, but glad we're back on the grind.
Yeah, for sure. And we got a special guest coming on later on, probably a few minutes till we have him on, Jack Adams. A Detroit Red Wings prospect. As everyone knows, I'm not much of a hockey guy. AJ will be doing most of the talking, most of the interview, which is pretty sweet. So, AJ, what topics you want to start out with for us to talk about?
Real quick, we'll talk about the Cubs, the fan foul ball. There's a foul ball right in the area. Kid was going for it. Pretty sure it went right underneath the seat, and the adult right behind him took the ball, held onto it, gave it to his wife, and just didn't even look or even think it twice about giving it to the kid, man. It's one of those things you're just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Like, it's just one of those look good moments. And
yeah, for sure, dude. But I did see today that there were some tweets coming out from people who were, like, sitting in that section. That they actually ended up getting a foul ball earlier on in the game, and the guy gave it to the kid.
Oh,
and
okay.
In the picture, you realize, I think it was the Cubs tweeted out a picture of, like, one of their players autographed a ball or whatever. If you see her, she's holding up two different baseballs. One's the one that the kid got earlier in the game, and then the one's the autographed one. So, at first, I mean, I was just like you, man. I was like, this fan is an asshole, but... You know, looking at it the other way, maybe there was some false advertising, you could say, I guess.
Gotcha. Some stuff you didn't see in the picture at all or hear about.
Right, for sure. But definitely a weird scene. It went viral quick, though. I remember seeing a post, and it had just a couple of likes, and then, like, 5 minutes later, there was, like, a billion, and the tweets were coming in from athletes all over. It was pretty crazy.
Next I have on my list something crazy that's kind of going local here in Detroit. The creditors here that own the Joe Louis Arena, they asked for an extension of 18 months to kind of figure out what they're going to do with it. I felt like the city of Detroit has taken way too long to knock buildings down. They did that with Tiger Stadium. They took way too long, started die a little bit, and eventually they knocked it down, and you can see that in the Silver Dome, how long it took for them to knock that down. Pretty sure it took right around, like, 14, 15 years.
Right.
So I'm wondering what they're going to do. I mean, they already pulled their bid out for the MLS team, so they'd have to go through the whole process of redoing that. But, you know, it's waterfront property, and in Detroit, I feel like that's somewhere that could have shined for an MLS team. So...
For sure, man. And that arena is awesome, man. I miss – I can't believe that they, you know, moved to Little Caesars Arena or whatever. I haven't been to a Red Wings game in a couple of years, but going to Joe Louis Arena was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Just the atmosphere that went you, – the place scored it, roared. You felt it.
Yeah, for sure. If you're listening in, give us a call, 563-999-3674. Coming up soon, we will have Detroit Red Wings prospect Jack Adams online, having a quick interview with him. One other topic that I saw pop up today in the NFL side of everything, Dez Bryant might be signing with the Cleveland Browns. The Browns are looking at signing Bryant. Bryant wants to go to a contender. I remember seeing that. I don't know if the Browns are really considered a contender yet. Obviously, they've added a lot of talent, and we'll see. But Dez Bryant, man, I've been saying I was hoping no team would sign him. I've had a couple blogs out there where I bashed him. You know, I'm not a big Dez Bryant guy. I don't know how you feel about anything. Do you think he will be on a roster this year? And if so, will he be a Cleveland Brown?
With him, it's very skeptical. But worst comes to worst, I think he's going to play because he's starting to get up there. I mean, he's 29 years old. And so that's I think no matter what, he wants to find himself on a roster by the start of the season. And if worst comes to worst, my guess is he's going to end up on the Browns.
Do you see any, looking at it from my angle, I don't see really any teams that he fits in with well. I know he wanted to stay in the same division as the Cowboys, but it doesn't seem like the Giants were kind of a front runner at first. People were saying that he might have been going there, or the 49ers, but I don't think there's been any offers on the table. People are just kind of realizing, you know, this guy's hasn't had more than 1,000 yards in, I think, like 3 years or something like that. He's not as productive as he was. At one point in his career, though, he was probably one, if not the best receiver in the league when he was going up against, like, guys like Calvin Johnson and stuff in Detroit. But I don't know. I don't see really a big fit with him for any teams. But the Cleveland Browns always need help, so.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Now it's time. We're going to switch this over. We got a special guest coming on. AJ, you want to introduce our guest?
Oh, yeah. You said I got it or you got it?
You got it.
I got it. All right, guys. Coming here with us, you know, PSV Podcast, we have Jack Adams. He is a Detroit Red Wings prospect. How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Great.
Good. So, been a little bit since I've seen you. Hey, I got lucky. I got this card that said, hey, you want a free stick from a prospect? And they had the cards face down. And I was fortunate enough to pick you. My buddies actually wanted you to meet you. And I said, nah, I picked them. I'm going to be the one that meets them. So that's actually crazy how we met. So if you just want to, I'll just ask you a couple questions real quick.
No worries.
So so you were drafted in the sixth round. How did it feel when you saw that you were drafted?
Yeah, it was pretty surreal. It's a crazy year to begin with, playing in the Fargo Force in the USHL. It was crazy how it all transpired. I mean, I thought going into the year, I went back there in, like, August for training camp, and I had a pretty shitty camp, and to be honest, I thought I was going to get cut from making my junior team, and I ended up having a really good second, third week of camp, and coach ended up keeping me, and then after that, I kind of just had a pretty crazy year and pretty crazy stats when the draft came around, and Detroit was the last team I talked to, I think, and when that happened, just put the whole year in perspective, and, you know, this is a dream come true for my family and I, so couldn't be happier to be part of the organization.
Oh, yeah, especially, I was looking you up a little more today, especially seeing, they're still, you know, 2006 and 17 with Fargo, you had the most goals in the USHL, right, for like 37?
Yeah, it was a crazy year how it all happened. I mean, I went back there expecting to try to get somewhere around 30, 40 points and ended up leading the league in scoring. So, I mean, it was just all that's because of the two guys I played with, Blake Lizotte and Hank Crone, are two of my best friends. And we just had this crazy chemistry right away, and coach relied on us all year to produce and We did, but come playoff time, we were kind of gassed, and we played 20 minutes during the year and kind of took a toll on us. We had a pretty crappy playoff, but other than that, the year was crazy, and, you know, college was definitely a bigger step, but, you know, I'm excited to get back there for my second year.
Oh, yeah, and I know I mentioned at prospect camp, but if you could tell the people listening, why did you choose Union?
The biggest thing is my sister went there, so I had a really good familiarity with the school itself. And I think the second reason was the head coach, Rick Bennett. I've known Coach Bennett for a while now. My brother, Rue, played hockey at Providence College. But before he was, you know, at Providence, he had the whole recruiting process as well. And Union was one of his top schools that he looked at. And I was probably 10 or 11 years old, maybe, and I went on all of his recruiting visits. And I remember meeting Rick Bennett at Union when Rue was there, my brother Rue, back when a while ago, like I said. And we just kept this kind of relationship, and he and my dad stayed close for a while. And his son, Race, and I actually lived together for the last, like, 7, 8 years together training. So we have a really good, like, family relationship with Coach Bennett. And the biggest thing, too, for me was school. Like, the Union's different. Like, most schools, you take, like, what, 5 classes in a semester, where Union, we only take 3, only 3 in each trimester. So it's way easier to balance hockey and school. And the biggest thing, too, is that it's only 2 hours away from my house, where in the USHL was fucking North Dakota. So, I mean, you couldn't really – do that again. So, I mean, staying home was really important to me, and also the academic part was really important for my family and I as well.
Okay. Now, how do you think playing college is going to help, like, your professional hockey career?
I think it's the best way. I mean, I look at all these, like, I watch these, like, OHL and all these major junior highlights, and it's crazy how much better college hockey is than that. Like, in college, you only get, like, 35, 40 games. Mm-hmm. But you're going up against guys who are 24, 25 years old, like, literal men. And other than that, you also get way more off-season training with workouts and strength coaches that really care about you. And you get way more time to develop. And also, like, I guess in junior, like, you only have, like, 2 years to sign after you get drafted or something like that. Or college, you get 4 years to develop and get your degree, so it's way more beneficial in my point of view. But I watch, like, these junior games, and it's, like, it's just, like, pond hockey almost compared to college, where it's, like, a 200 reliable game, and guys are, like, really playing both sides of the ice and working so hard. So, like, you see a guy like David Pope, who's Red Wing just signed. Like, he was at camp, and he played 4 years of school, and you see, like, how successful he's been. So if I can just, like, follow guys like that, I think I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed, too, from, you know, watching, you know, games like the CHL and watching college games is I feel like, this, you know, teams in more of the CHL are, it's more of like a finesse style of hockey. And to where you mentioned, I feel like college is, you really have to be a two-way player to play it.
I think the way the game's going, especially professionally, is like it's all guys can play 200 feet. Like, I remember Sean Horkoff told me that, like, when he was at Michigan State in junior hockey, like, he was always a really high goal scorer. And then when he first got his call up to the National Hockey League when he was a rookie, he was slotted into a fourth line role. So, like, he had to know how to play that defensive side of the game. And he said college really taught him how to do that. And he said if he didn't have that experience in college, then he wouldn't have been rated and he probably wouldn't have capitalized on his opportunity. So, I mean, I think it's so important. And you see how many guys nowadays are doing the college route and how many guys are getting drafted going to college, et cetera. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer, but I mean, everyone's got their own path, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Now, you were at last year's camp, correct?
Yeah, the last 2 years.
Yep. Now, how do you feel like you did in this camp from the prior two?
I think I was a lot better this year than last year. I mean, obviously when you produce a little bit in the games, it gives you more confidence. But I think the biggest thing was just, like, confidence and not swagger, but this like, knowing more what to expect, I guess. Like, when you get there your first year, it's like, you know, you're kind of there on pins and needles and pretty nervous the entire duration of the camp. But when you come back a second year and see familiar faces and, you know, the staff you've talked to most of the year, like, you're a lot more familiar with what to expect. I mean, that conditioning test we do is brutal. It's like, this, it's terrible. So, like, when you get to, like, you know, practice that once or twice before you show up to camp, it's like, it makes it less, you know, less stressful. So, I mean, I think this year I definitely was more prepared, I guess, physically than anything, but also mentally is the biggest part, where I knew what to expect and had a lot more friends come back. So it was a lot of fun.
And so, like, when you were in Detroit, what was your favorite thing about the Detroit atmosphere? Like, the fans that came, like, the rink, the team in general.
It's like the city's booming. Like, it's crazy. Like, I'd actually, me and my buddy, what's his name? First round of this year. That's not the, who's the 30th pick overall this year? The second first rounder for the Red Wings this year. Forget his name.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about, though.
Yeah.
He and I, one of the draft picks, like, missed the bus. So we, like, got a golf cart to take us back to the hotel. And it was crazy, like, how much better the city's doing the last – I was probably in Detroit probably 10 years ago for a hockey tournament. And I kid you not, it felt like you couldn't, like, go downtown and see, like, places that weren't boxed up and everything. Where I come back now and it's, like, it's insane how, like, eye-opening it is. And the guy who was, like, giving us a tour was telling us, like – I think the city went bankrupt or something like that. And he said after that, the city has been absolutely, like, booming financially. And it's kind of cool having all those, like, sports facilities next to each other. And the Little Caesars Arena, it's ridiculous. Like, when we first got there, like, we were getting lost, like, left and right. But, like, you see, like, the facilities of the diners and the pools and massage rooms and the locker room. It really motivates you, and you go home to, like, really work hard, so if you get lucky one day, you can experience that kind of thing. So, I mean, it's a crazy experience being in the Joe, and, I mean, the Little Caesars, so hopefully we can be back there next year, too.
Totally. Bringing it back to when you were growing up, who was your favorite player that you always, like, kind of look towards?
I have a few. My brother was probably the obvious one, because just in general, but I've always been a huge fan of Kevin Hayes from the Rangers. I think we play similar styles, and we're pretty good family friends. I'm also a huge Torrey Krug fan on the Boston Bruins. Obviously, I've always been a Bruins fan, and he and I actually are pretty close off the ice, but probably him, and then maybe throw, like, Patrick Kane in there as well. It's just, obviously, that's not good as a Detroit prospect saying that, but he's been pretty fun to watch for a while, I guess. He's just so electric on the ice.
Now, do you play, like, Chell at all or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Are you excited for the new one?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, the game is pissing me off so much when I'm playing it, though. It's, like, I don't know about you guys, but, like, I'll be, like, on a two-on-one, and you're looking at the guy you obviously want to pass to, right? And the computer, whatever, I don't know how the hell it works, it's like passes the wrong guy, and it drives me absolutely insane. Like, we play, like, two-on-two, like, me and my buddy Race, my buddy Fletcher is coming to school with me next year, and this kid Kyle Coopman going to Providence. We all live together in Cape Cod and train. But we play, like, we play NHL, like, two-on-two, like, every night, and it's, I kid you not, like, the room, like, whoever loses, like, we don't talk to those guys the rest of the night. Like, it's just so, like...
like, you're pissed off at each other.
Oh, like, the boys are just not having it. We play NHL, NBA, like, all the time. Yeah, it's just... Yeah, it's fun being creative and shit.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking forward to the new one coming out this year with, like, the pond mode and...
Yeah, I saw that. I remember, like, the old, like, the three-on-three mode's pretty sick on the one now, but... The pond will definitely be crazy. I mean, I'm not going to lie and act like I was a huge, like, pond hockey kid growing up because I wasn't, but that feature looks really cool. I mean, isn't the cover Subban, I think, but
yeah,
that'll be really neat.
And the last question I have for you, just like, how, like, what do you do in the summer to kind of prepare yourself for the next season after you go to camp and you have such a great camp? You know, like, what are you doing to prepare yourself for the next season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really, like, for me, like, my training doesn't really ever stop. I mean, after the season, you take 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off, and then you're right back at it. I mean, unfortunately, after our season was over, I got pretty sick for a few weeks, but after that, it's been full go. Like, at Union, we go really late, unlike most schools, that we go until, like, the second week in June. So
okay. We
have, like, cool. We have 6 a.m. lifts. Sucks, but it's good. We have 6 a.m. lifts 4 days a week, and, like, coach is having to shoot a certain amount of pucks each week. I forget the number, but and then after that, I go up to Cape Cod and live down here the whole summertime on the beach, and I have my training facilities down here with this guy, skating guru Paul Vincent, who's he's like early 70s now, and he's still going at it. It's crazy I don't know how he still does it, but he's trained guys like Pat. He was the skating coach of the Blackhawks back when they won the Cups. He knows what he's doing. He's a really good family friend of mine. And I have a few of my buddies that live down here too with me, and we all have a house of like 6-7 guys, and we all like split it in half and live in the house together for 8 weeks and train us, work out 5 days a week, skate 4 days a week. And my best friend Sean Harrison's coming up to live in the last 3 weeks from his school, so I'm pumped to see him and show him what it's like to live the Cape Cod life a little bit. But it's sick to say, you guys should come down here for vacation one time and you guys get a chance. It's unbelievable, the water and live on the beach and stuff is sweet.
All right, thank you. Trev, do you have any questions for him or anything you want to add? Or
hey man, thank you for jumping on here. I'm not much of a hockey guy, so AJ
had the
most interview. I appreciate it a bunch hopping on. My one question to you is, I was looking through your Twitter, and I think it was Boston Sports Extra.
Yeah. I used to actually run that. It used to be Patriots Extra.
And okay. We
had like 100,000 Twitter followers. It was pretty legit. And I was at the helm of the whole entire thing, and I was running most of the social media aspects. And it was like me and three other guys, me and three other Patriots fans that all ran it. We did it for about 5-6 years. And after a while, the owner was just getting pretty greasy and just thought he knew everything. And we just had kind of just disagreements on how the account should be run. Like, on our point of view, like, we thought, like, fans would just be attracted to just Patriots news. And that's when we were getting the most attention, I guess. And then we just wanted to do, like, all Boston sports. And all of us just kind of lost interest. We all went our separate ways. But, I mean, it was good while it lasted, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I figured I'd ask you both that. Other question is, you know, the difference from where you live now in Detroit, you know, when you, I think you were saying you go to Cape Cod for the training. What's the difference from the atmosphere there in Detroit?
Oh, I mean, Cape Cod's pretty slow pace. It's really slow pace. It's a pretty, like, I'm not going to lie, it's a really nice town. I mean, a lot of, kind of town, it's like a little area, but I live in Falmouth, it's a really nice area, and it's a lot of, like, really, like, nice community with a lot of people who live down here in the summertime. And for Detroit's a lot more, you know, active, obviously, and fast-paced moving. Where here in Cape Cod, it's like everyone's relaxed, everyone's going to the beach, everyone's, like, just here to vacation. So it's kind of weird that we're training so hard down here in that kind of atmosphere. But at the same time, we come home and it's easy to unwind because the Cape Cod environment is just spectacular.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So you're a Patriots guy.
huge.
I think it's week four. I think Detroit and the Patriots play week three or four. You going to the game or what? It's in Detroit.
Man, I wish. And I've been a diehard Patriots fan since probably second grade. But almost with all the tension going on between Belichick and Bill, and Belichick and Brady, it's just been like not making me lose like love, but it's just like kind of pissed me off because I feel like there's just. You got Brady and his trainer, and you have Belichick here, who wants Garoppolo. And the new article that came out last week saying like Bill wanted to like he texted Garoppolo after every single win, and Brady's complaining that he can't have fun. It's just a bunch of BS and whining. I can't stand it. Where the Celtics are like coming and so fun to watch, and I think we got a really good chance to win it if Golden State didn't sign half the league. So I mean. It should be interesting to see how that happens.
Yeah, for sure. So, one more question for me. Back to the Lions and Patriots. What's your opinion on Patricia? What is it? You like him? Should we be excited? Should
I
be
do.
Nervous?
I mean, he actually went to my rival school, RPI, so I mean, I can't be too bad. I'm just kidding. No, he's great. He was – our defense, like, personnel-wise, our personnel was always beyond subpar. Like, it was just not good. And he somehow, I mean, obviously Belichick's Belichick, but Patricia somehow, like, made those guys work. Like, I remember our Super Bowl win against Atlanta, we came back by the 25-point comeback. Like, our defensive personnel was dog shit. Like, it was bad. And when we look at the personnel, like, we lost all our starting quarterbacks, our starting linebackers, our starting offensive tackle, and he somehow put a lineup on the field that could compete against a Super Bowl caliber offense. So, I mean, I think nowadays the way the game's going, like the defensive minded head coaches are winning. Like you look at Jacksonville and Seattle and Atlanta and Belichick,
right.
Defensive coordinator. I mean, I think that's the way you want to go nowadays. So, I mean, I think he's fantastic.
All right, good. Perfect. All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for hopping on. We'll definitely get you back on here, man. Thank you.
Yeah, no, let me know. I appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
You too. All right, I think that went pretty smooth, AJ. You got any other topics you want to go over here quick? I think we got like 3 minutes left here or something like that. One thing I want to talk about, we have a couple new bloggers that are coming. You guys did notice on the website. One of them's from Australia, pretty cool dude. And then we have a couple people who wrote for us before who are starting to come back. So you'll be seeing more and more blogs up on the website, and AJ's going to be working his tail off to get more blogs out the next couple of weeks. So on that end, everything's looking up. AJ, any topics you got? We got 2 minutes.
Just real quick, keeping it local again with the Lions. I saw that Ziggy Ansah is placed on the PUP list. I was wondering how you feel about that as you're a Lions fan.
So the way I'm looking at this, like, from, like, two different sides. Like, I'm looking at it like, okay, it's Ziggy Ansah, and I wish that we would have paid the man, but I'm kind of wishing, you know, I wish we could have traded him because I think he's a productive beast, but I don't think he's going to sign back with us, and I really don't think that we need him to sign back with us. Yeah, last year he had 12 sacks. 6 of them were in, like, 2 games or something like that. He had crazy games, but you know, there's not many people in the league who can do that. But I just don't think Detroit and Patricia and Bob Quinn need Ziggy Ansah on the field. So, I mean, if we ended up somehow trading, that would be awesome. But him being on the PUP list and whatnot, man, you know, we still got a couple, like a month till the season starts. Let's give it time, I guess. Let's see where it goes. You know, he's productive on the field, so I like him when he's on the field. But some games, it's like you're looking around, it's like, where's Ziggy Ansah? You know, he's like hit or miss. And when he hits hard. He hits with those 3, 4, 5 sack games. But when he doesn't hit, it's like, where are you? You know, you don't even have a tackle this game. We haven't heard your name, which isn't always a bad thing because, you know, he ain't getting penalties. But on the same side, man, I don't know. I feel like I have mixed emotions with it. I guess we'll see where the season goes.
Mm-hmm, totally. And that's where I felt like you mentioned one of the, like, my main point is I mean, it being news because it's happening right now, but it's so early.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't. I mean, if it does go into the preseason, I wouldn't even play him. I'd just let him keep doing his thing, keep working out.
Yeah.
We don't need him for the preseason. Not a lot of vets play. They'll
right.
play their series that they get, and they'll go out and whatever. So I feel like it's not that big of an issue, but I just kind of see. I want to see how you felt with that.
Yeah, for sure, bro. One other thing I wanted to mention, guys, the Matt Patricia We Trust shirts, buy them up, $25. They're on the website. They're going to take about 2 weeks to process, and then we'll ship them out. When the season gets closer, it obviously won't be in no 2 weeks. We'll have shirts in stock, hopefully. So pretty sweet. We're working with a company right now out of New York, and the guy who runs the runs their business is actually going to be joining PSE here pretty soon. He's going to be doing a new podcast. He's going to be blogging. He said he's going to be about 4 or 5 blogs a week. So good ads. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how his shirt quality is. He's sending me a couple examples of the Patricia shirts. So I'll get those and look at them and see how they are. And if we go with them, that's awesome. Out of New York. Can't think of the company's name, or else I'd give him a shout out. But pretty excited to be working with him and getting them Patricia shirts out. We already have a couple orders. I know that. And we have a couple Lions players who are going to be rocking them as well. Hopefully, after we beat the Jets on Monday Night Football Week 1, we, as an Alliance, because I'm a huge Lions fan, that these players wear them. But yeah, we got a couple of them who's going to be wearing. I know Tavon Wilson and a couple other younger guys will be rocking them. So hopefully Patricia has a big year, so his shirts sell like crazy. Bye, bye, bye. Yeah, that's that. I don't got anything else. ProSportsExtra.com. Call us in next show. More podcasts are going to be coming out. So just stay tuned. Anything you got, AJ?
Nope, that's about it.
All right, guys, follow us on social media at ProSportsExtra. One more thing before we go. AJ, we're going to have a new intro coming out soon. Your name and my name will be in a rap song that's coming out. So stay tuned for that.
All right.
All right. Talk to you guys later.